The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign minds.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Wow.
Hey, I am halfway down this energy drink already.
What? Huh?
Say what?
Oh, I thought I heard the fire engine.
Oh, you're having your birthday at Chevy's.
What? Stay your birthday?
No.
Oh. You're at Chevy's?
I don't know. I miss Chevy. Chevy's was pretty good. I mean, we were just kind of discussing a little bit about food here before the show and where's good to eat nowadays.
I miss my Chevy, not my Chevy.
Well, you remember Chevy's? I mean, you had like the fresh-made tortillas. And
yeah, that part was okay.
That was pretty good. Yeah, like whatever that little...
I got really good food at Chevy's, that's me.
Yeah. I like the one across the street.
Mazalot? Is that what it's called?
I don't know, Maharaja or something.
I don't know.
Whatever. Okay, today is Sunday, January.
Ain't nothing but a thing.
January 12th.
Ding, ding.
2020. What is this? What are we on the freaking Kukla, Fran, and Ollie show here?
Happy New Year!
Just a minute, he'll have Lem chop out.
that was Sherry Lewis.
Now it's time for my drum solo.
Whoa! Take that away from him.
Turn down my thing. It's like I don't know who had it before, but it's way.
Turn down for
there
that.
There you go. That's try that.
That would be
testing. Scary. Testing. Okay, there you go. Try speaking, my sister.
Hello.
That's better. Maybe down a little harder, a little farther.
We can. Turn yours off, too.
No, we can't.
We can.
Today is Sunday.
We have control.
January 12th, 2025.
Who's in the booth? Is it Dave?
You're listening to Sovereign Minds, and I'm being talked over by my sister. My name is
Wow.
I'm in,
you wouldn't talk over anybody.
My name is Mark Kent, and I'm the host, in theory. And... I'd like to thank you for listening in. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson now with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
And let's see. The kid that rocks around the clock faster than speed, again, connects more powerful than a high speed download at a 10th degree black belt and rims.
Good morning.
And the crowd goes wild. We also have Dave. Is Dave in there today? He's our producer.
Good morning.
I'm just waiting for him to do one of the Dave's not here moments.
Dave. Hey, man, is Dave there? Wow, man. Never mind.
No, man, Dave's not here.
Wow, man, Dave's not here. I can't do Chong.
I can do cheese, man.
Man, I hear the cops, man. The cops are coming, man.
Yeah, man.
Dave does it pretty good.
It's like, wow, man.
Wow, man.
Anyway.
I'm smoking another one.
Boy, speaking of smoke. Yeah.
I could go for a bowl.
Whoa.
Ooh, I was talking about Southern California.
Oh, that went dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you hopped over the curb on that one, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah,
so, let's start off with PG&E. Okay? You know, I got this in my email. You know, I'm a customer of PG&E. And I got a letter from them. on Friday.
And due to the fires in Southern California, your rates are going to increase.
Listen to this. Dear customers, this is from the CEO. Her name is Patty Pope, spelled P-O-P-P-E. You could pronounce that another way if you like, but I'll go with Pope. So, according to PG&E, as CEO in 2021, because I wanted to help turn the company around and serve you better, from day one I said leading with love would be the key to our transformation. It may seem strange to see the word love in a letter from a business leader, but I believe love and connection are essential to building a culture where people care for each other and our customers. I want every coworker and customer to know we care about them, and that starts with listening to you. I want to share what I'm hearing and what we're doing in response. Here's what you've said. PG&E has not done enough to prevent future wildfires. Boy, there's a no
wow.
Sherlock
when did
this,
there. When did this letter come out?
Friday.
Wow,
just
really?
Just a quinky dink, you do understand.
Mind you, in the last 4 years, everybody's rates for PG&E has gone up over 100%. I love that.
That's talking point number two.
Sorry.
Bills are too high. And you are concerned that you are paying PG&E's for PG&E's past mistakes. Well, rest assured, you're going to be paying for PG&E's current and future mistakes. Okay.
And also their wages, their salaries. They didn't take a cut.
We're getting there. Hold on. That's talking point number four. Number three is PG&E has too many outages, making prices even more frustrating. So I'm paying for a blackout some of the time.
That they do.
By
when
not,
they shut it off.
By being green and putting all of their investments into green energy and channeling it to companies that, like, I don't know, Sun Power goes bankrupt. What's the other one? Sun On.
Sun On was a solar company.
And they funneled a bunch of money to these companies, going bankrupt.
There was another one, too.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest. Like, this topic is the first time in a couple of weeks that has me wanting to say the F word multiple times in regard to
Don't
PG&E.
Do that. I did get a message from the management.
We all did.
And an email on that. But
all did.
I digress. All right, and I'm not the one, so I'm not pointing any fingers at me.
I know
or
who it was.
Anyone else?
So we haven't in our house. We haven't run the heat at all this entire winter, and still our bills are crazy. It's like it's untenable for anybody to be able to deal with anything. I mean, my last bill was like $700, and it used to be like $200-$300 with running the central heating and all that, and now it's like,
You mean you don't like paying for the mansions that they live in?
Oh, it's crazy.
No, those are gone.
Well, now they're, well, no, I'm sure that, I'm sure theirs aren't.
Maybe
some of them, but anyway.
Okay. Bullet point number four, or talking point, if you will. Sometimes it seems like shareholders and profits are the most important thing to PG&E.
No.
No. Sometimes it seems like that.
It sure seems that somewhat. Sometimes. Definitely seems like that.
Sometimes. Clearly, we must regain your trust. You think? I think the best way to do that is to show you we are acting on your feedback. And I'm up for that. I'm making this personal letter that I sent out to millions and millions of people.
Don't have electricity anymore.
An annual tradition. Half Southern California didn't get this because they don't have internet either.
Oh.
But yeah, they didn't get it.
You deserve to know about our progress on the things you care about most. Let's go one by one. Wildfire prevention.
Lack thereof.
Now, I saw videos last week where there was like sparks shooting off all of the power things. I don't know. Was that the cause? Or was it the homeless person out running around with the torch, that they
arrested. Setting fires.
Setting fires. Could it have been a terrorist attack? Could it have been
a drone?
I don't know. I've seen lots of speculation, and I've seen lots of theories. But let's get back to our little letter here from PG&E, the CEO. When I first arrived, people said PG&E hadn't invested enough in updating equipment, especially given the impacts of climate change. I agreed with them. I mean,
what?
Yeah, can you? This letter's. So we're doing that now. Our inspections, repairs, and equipment rebuilds have contributed to dramatic improvements. I'm sure that they're well aware of this down in Palisades Park, about the...
Well, before you go on, I do know somebody that works for PG&E that is on a bucket truck. And PG&E, the last couple of years, is trying to get rid of all the bucket trucks so they don't have to do pole repairs.
Well, here's
I'm just saying.
Here's the next sentence. The result of these dramatic improvements... We've cut your exposure to wildfire risk by over 90%.
Really?
And we're on a multi-year run of no major wildfires due to our equipment, a record we intend to keep.
Wasn't our last fire by PG&E?
Never mind. So...
Wasn't that a tree falling on the power lines?
I don't know if I want to go through this whole letter... Because it makes me want to...
makes me want to throw up.
It makes me want to stab my keyboard with my Bic.
Well, and maybe this letter is in response to, I don't know, Luigi and people getting sick and tired of being screwed over by all of these multinational corporations that are screwing people
well,
over.
Well, do you want to know what's not driving up your bill, according to this letter? Advertising. I don't see. Do you ever see any advertising on TV about don't step on any down power lines or I don't know.
Like almost every time a commercial comes on regular TV.
Executive compensation. Not
who still watches regular TV?
I don't. Executive well, I watch
well, I
watch
I do.
I watch Channel 7 in the mornings to get the weather, report.
I watch
that's it.
Yeah, that's about it.
And as soon as anybody else comes on, I just have to shut it off because I can't take it because we're the news that tells you the truth or truth you can trust, or something to that effect. Whatever.
My whole generation, the generations that are coming up, we're on streaming services, so we basically use like the Shield and stuff like that.
Well, do you know what else is not driving up your costs over there? Fines and legal costs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about, what was it, the $21 million that went to the Zogfire people?
No, seven, actually. Was it $21 million?
I think it
and
was
then 20, seven. Oh, seven. Oh, I'm sorry, seven went to the private coffers.
Exactly,
of
yeah.
The Children's Legacy Center.
Yeah, that one.
Esteemed DA happens to be on the board as well.
That, which was, I believe, started by a tree that fell on the power lines. Was
that it?
Was that
never happens, does it?
No, not here.
No, they've upgraded the equipment and done all the repairs. Never mind.
Oh.
Shut up. So. So, they've also got...
And that's why they shut the power off all the time, right? That's why we have rolling blackouts.
I'm almost there. Power reliability. If you've been a PG&E customer for a while, you'll remember the threat of rolling blackouts on the hottest summer days. No, I don't remember the threat. I remember the
actual events.
I
remember them saying... we will shut your electricity off tomorrow, and it will be off until we deem fit
like
to turn it back on.
Two or three this last summer. I think there was a threat, and then they hit the switch.
Yeah.
So I think that's a threat of getting a beating, you know, and then the threat turns into a beating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just a threat that you don't need to worry about that anymore. It's not the threat. It's the actual beating. So with that said, I want you to know we have made the California grid stronger, extending our operations of our Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant and adding more clean energy like battery storage and renewables. No, they didn't divert any money into the green energy renewables climate change crap that that prevented them from upgrading all of the 100-year-old systems. That's really, right. No, never mind. By showing a commitment to becoming a better utility, we are acting on our pledge to lead with love.
And I don't know if they were behind it, but how come the dams got removed in Northern California?
And we hope to earn your trust back.
Okay, so story time.
Do you like
story time?
I'm warm and fuzzy.
Oh,
now.
Please.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So last year, just this last summer, I was getting close to about $1,400 a month power bills consistently.
What were you doing?
Nothing. That's the point. And so it was.
Are you sure you weren't doing something?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it was like.
Well, he was. He's talking about puffing on the pipe earlier.
I know. That's
So I was basically.
Were you mining?
No. So it was in my landlord's name. And so they were getting the bills, and I was basically paying them for it. And I didn't even know about it until I had already basically had 3 months of this. And so I changed it over to my name. Didn't change anything. Didn't change anything at all. And, oh, my bill all of a sudden was $300 a month, not $1,400 a month. And that was something that I was hearing from people all around in the same area that, oh, yeah, our bills just went dramatically high.
How did that happen?
What I did is I just stopped paying them. I made it sure I didn't have any auto pay or anything like that, which normally I'll have auto pay on everything. And I basically let it go until they threatened to turn the power off, and then I pay them. Because otherwise it seems like everybody else around is getting these rate hikes that are constant over and over and over and over. And it's insane. Like, they're criminal. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, you think, but I'd like to know how your bill changed from 14 to 3.
Well, that's my point. Like, nothing changed aside from the name and the service going in my name instead of their name. Nothing changed.
So if you're a property owner, they sock it to you. If you're a rental, you're not.
No idea, but that's a pretty big change. That's.
You think?
Yeah. And
that's
so,
a big swing.
Well, and especially when, like, out of the blue, you got $4,000 bills from PG&E. And like I said, I didn't even know about it until a couple months had passed. And they're like, oh, yeah, the PG&E has been pretty crazy lately. And apparently theirs was bad, too. They were getting like $2,000 a month. And we're not in a crazy big house. We're in a three-bedroom, two-bath. It's insanity what they're charging for people nowadays.
Well, I want to end with the last paragraph in the letter. I'll be back with another letter next year.
I bet you will.
To share our progress. And you will be hearing from me and the PG&E team. You'll be hearing more from me and the PG&E team in the meantime. We want to keep this conversation going. Our lines are open. To find out about opportunities and meet with our team, you can go to pgne.com/open. Dash lines.
Yeah. Let me know how that works for you in a couple of weeks, lady.
With love, Patty Pop.
Like I said, there's very few times to where I'm just wanting to curse about something, but PG&E is one of them.
So it doesn't look to me like I can get onto the Casey in our chat room for whatever reason.
I'm on.
It's not letting me go in there for whatever reason. I'm not sure why.
Let me check and see if you've been fired.
Be yeah. like me. They That's, did that to me.
It's like we fired the host. So I am on over at Fireside News.
Oh, I haven't gone on there yet.
On Rumble.
We are streaming live if you want to find
us
over
there.
Rumble.com/fires, F-I-R-E-S. That'll get you directly to it. Or you can just look up Fireside News. It's verified over there.
So I don't know what's going on. I've been banned. I've been shadowed. I've been Zuckerberged. I've been something. I'm not sure what. But so with that said, I have another item on the list here. If I can get it up here because... Oh, here we go. So this is from JP. We got a little clip here. I don't know if we should play it yet. We got 5 minutes till the break. It's I think we'll make it. All right. So I better actually plug it in before we do that. So
That seems like a plan.
That seems like a good plan.
So there's the guy that was in the chat was using your name in a lot of different ways, such as crackhead. We got.
Jeez,
I can't say any of these. I cannot say any of these names, but they were using either Mark or Kent as part of the name.
Yeah, we know who it is.
Very possible.
We know who it is. And
I told you, didn't I warn you, Dave, before we came on air?
Is your name Rich Stones? No. Nope. Is your name? Nope. What's your chat name? I want to make sure you're not banned.
I think it's M. Kent. Or Mark 101, I think.
Okay,
I
we got Linda Russian Ledgers. Nope.
Nope, that's not it. Nope.
Well, if you want to talk to us, you can go over to Sovereign Minds on at Fireside News on Rumble, because that's where we're at. And we can stop the nonsense and the insanity from the person who's actually full of nonsense and insanity that keeps getting...
Yeah, I told you that was going to happen as soon as we came on the air, Dave.
I appreciate our super fans more than I can possibly tell
our
you.
Our super fans?
It's a super fan. It's amazing how much they never miss a single one of our episodes.
Do you know how you know you're striking a nerve?
Because they can't shut up.
By the way they are.
Because they can't
the way
up.
They freak out.
There are super fans, man. Yeah, like, yeah. They don't miss a single episode. Some people would say they stalk us, fan. But I mean, it's, you know, it's, I really, big shout out. I appreciate you.
I don't know if super fans is good. Maybe smart fan, because, you know, all
no,
the
they're
smart
a super
technology.
Fan. I mean, they never miss an episode.
Smart fan?
Yeah, you know.
Are you serious?
They're
obsessed. Yeah, like stupid. You know, smart.
It's like stupid smart. Is
yeah,
that what you're
stupid
saying?
Smart. Yeah, you know, like the smart meters, the smart phones.
Or is it smart stupid? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm a smart listener.
Exactly.
Oh boy. Well, we'll kill 3 minutes until we get to the bottom of the hour. Take a break, and then we'll come back with JP.
Well, I have some announcements that I'm supposed to get out.
Go for it.
Okay. First of all, this comes from a Korean vet, and because of the high cost of fire insurance, imagine that, what we were just talking about, and he had to take down his oak trees and pine trees on his property to get his property, you know, where it's secure, I guess you call it. What, you know, you're defensive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, he's got all this wood, and he needs somebody to split it. And if you want to split it, you can come get the wood for free.
There you go.
And his name is John, and you can reach him at 530-921-8650. And he just needs help to get the wood off of his property, and he'll even help you load it. So there you go with that one.
Kind of like other people that need mental help.
Well, there's another
there's
thing
those,
for that.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the chat room.
Yeah, he's got a backhoe. I mean, I go on.
In unrelated news, we do have a caller. We got
Jimmy
on the line.
Yeah, let's go to Jimmy.
Okay,
and then we'll finish.
We'll go to Jimmy. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. Hey, I heard a super fan and mental help. So I thought I'd call in.
Hey, Jimmy!
You're not secretly in the chat room when we don't know it under an assumed and alias name, are you?
No.
That's not Jimmy.
No, I haven't been on the chat room, but I do listen to almost every one of your episodes unless I'm out of town or something. Hey, I do want to call about something real quick about the fires. I missed Jefferson State of Mind, and I just tuned into your show about 20 minutes ago. And I heard Biden talking about the water shortage at the fires.
Right.
Well, he did this speech, you know, pre-written because he's a pumpkinhead. Well, he said that one of the reasons the fire hydrants didn't have water was because PG&E shut the power off so the pumps weren't working. And
they're not trying to front run the problem, are they?
No.
Right. So I called one of my relatives who was a retired battalion chief, and he said that they should have had... Oh, and the other thing Biden said was Cal Fire had to go set up generators to get the pumps working. Well, apparently, my relative said that here in Redding, our pumps have backup generators. So if that's true, then why did they not have backup generators?
Because PG&E...
So either Biden's lying, or...
No.
The powers that be, or... Yeah, or the powers that be should have had those backup generators.
Number one, they'll throw anybody under the bus. They don't care as long as it's not themselves. And number two, PG&E shut off the power with love.
Yeah.
And probably
we can't rebuild our economy and meet this climate crisis. Exacerbating
climate crisis?
Right.
And they probably got stolen by the illegals. Just saying.
Go ahead.
Who knows? But it's just amazing because here in our part of the state, if the power goes out, we still have water, right?
They do, too. It's called the Pacific Ocean. You just have to use it.
Right. All right, guys. I'm going to let you go. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks for calling
in.
You could do the Pacific
Ocean.
Well,
I did do a little homework on it, and the problem that they have with doing it out of the Pacific Ocean is that because of the salt content, it rusts out all of their machines and stuff.
But they can flush
them. I would think that you could come up with a solution, though, because there's a lot of water sitting right there off the coast that is could be utilized, and it does put fires out.
I believe you can flush the engine.
Well,
the other is
for the environment's sake. Plants don't grow back under salted soil very well.
Well, let's see. House burn, no plant.
They don't grow back very well either if they get burnt out every year.
I'm just saying. Hmm.
I don't know. That's something to think about.
Yeah, I guess with that, we need to take a break, and then we will pick this up on the other side. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I guess we
were. And here we go.
Burning bright, made it out of darkness when I saw his light. Every single heartbeat I could feel his grace. I'm not in a rush, I'm setting my own pace. There's a fire in my soul more than just a flame. Was a slave to my mind, now I feel unchained. Now it's easier to get up every time I fall. All this love I possess, man, it conquers all. I know he got me through all of the highs and lows. Every path, every turn, every single road. I know that he there when I feel alone. Feel like I can't fail, I'll achieve my goals. There ain't a struggle I can't overcome. Even if you hate me, I still show you love. But so anxious, confused, I was so depressed. Every breath, every step, now I feel so blessed. Darkest place, I work so hard to beat the demons I faced. Circle getting smaller every single year. If I cut off on my friend, it might disappear. Every single day, I would go and chase my vice. Now I know why God didn't take my life. Cause I got a bigger purpose, and now it's clear. Exactly the reason for why I'm here. Letting go of the habits that hold me back. For my kids and my wife, now I'm right on track. I had to leave a couple people in the past who couldn't grow with me, but I'm not sad. Satan been whispering them pretty lies. I never stay down, when I fall I rise. A father, a husband, a son, and a man. All I had to do was just trust in his plan. Lately there's been a fire.
Indulge in an unforgettable evening at Turtle Bay's Chocolate After Dark. Join us on Friday, February 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. and enjoy delicious chocolate treats, fine local wines, and a fun night out at Turtle Bay Museum. Perfect for date night or a special treat for you and your friends. This 21 and older event is too sweet to miss and sure to sell out. Chocolate After Dark at Turtle Bay Museum, Friday, February 7th. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Sovereign Minds, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Little Steve Winwood there for Blind Faith. That's an oldie but a goodie.
Oldie but a goodie.
All right, so let's go with your announcements, and then we'll get to our caller right on.
All right, because it's probably what Dick's calling in, I'm going to tell you about a raffle. There's raffle tickets, and this is for the Veterans Advocate of the Year. It's for CVAC, Shasta County Veterans Association, I believe, is what CVAC stands for. But anyway, they have raffle tickets, and Dick is the one that is selling them. Imagine that. For either a Wynn dual-fuel portable generator, a Glock 26 9mm, or $339.99 worth of R&R meats. And the tickets are $10. And like I said, Dick is the one that's selling them, the raffle ticket guy for everybody. And he can be reached at 530-246-9131. So again, you can have a chance for either the Glock 26, a generator, or almost $400 worth of meat from R&R. And with that, do we want to do the fundraiser or go to Dick?
I have the fundraiser up if you want to do it real quick.
Okay.
I thought we had Stones on.
He hasn't called in, or he's not on the board yet. So
never mind. All right, so we got a Support Real Journalism fundraiser for Mountaintop Media. Getting the truth out that matters. Actually telling the truth would be helpful.
Reporting on the facts.
Mainstream news. We are having a fundraising dinner with a live auction and a raffle on Saturday, February 15th at the Anderson VFW. It's 3210 West Center Street. The doors open at 4 p.m. and the dinner's at 6. And the tickets are available at Jones's Fort or Northern Roots. Questions, if you have any, call 530-638-4150. And that helps support all the different medias, the alternative medias that are actually becoming the medias, the go-to medias at this point, where you can actually get some truth on the issues, because we're not getting anything that is real from most of the corporate media outlets.
Also, for that fundraiser, the proceeds will help put into place for young journalism. We would like to start bringing on the young folks and teaching them how to actually do journalism. And so that's what part of the proceeds will go for. And also, we're asking for donations. If you have something you want to donate to the cause that we can auction that night, please let us know. So, again, that would be great. It's going to be a good night, good food, good people, and let's get it out there.
And I'm going to go ahead and share that on Facebook as well, so that we have that up and running. And,
if you go to Facebook, there is a QR code that you can scan and buy tickets that way as well.
There you go. And that's the Facebook that's on my Facebook. That's Mark Kent. And it's got the little flag, and I'm sovereign and free. Okay.
And with that, we'll go to our caller. We've got Dick on the line. Good morning, Dick.
Hey, good morning, Linda. You did a good job.
Thank you.
For me just now. And I also like to mention that this group is called the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council. Although I am on the board of two separate veterans groups, I am not a member of this group. I'm just helping them. And they're having an Advocate of the Year awards dinner. It's by invitation only. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to be invited, call Debbie Johnson, 530-357-3380. And it's going to be at the Wind River Eagle Room. It's at the one that's upstairs. And dinner tickets are $35. And so, anyway, I have their flyer right in front of me, and it's very confusing. The raffle, it sort of implies if you buy a raffle ticket, you got a chance to win. If, like one $10 ticket, you got a chance to win one of these three items. And there's three separate raffles. But you already mentioned that. There's three separate raffles.
Okay.
And each item has a $10 ticket. So you can buy tickets for the Glock or the meat package or the dual fuel generator. It runs on gasoline or propane, and it's electric start. So anyway, I've got tickets for both of those. And also, April Sharp has been in contact with me, and she's going to come by Monday and bring some tickets and a flyer. And the problem is she's having a fundraiser for flags and flowers for Preston Sharp. And the problem is it's on the same day, March 8th, as this awards banquet here for the Veteran Advocate of the Year Award. So there's a problem with that. But so I'm going to try to help her sell tickets for her event right there. It's to help Preston Sharp with his Flags and Flowers program. So anyway, I just want to make it clear that this raffle, there's three separate raffles, one for the Glock, one for the meat package, and one for the generator.
Well, thanks for that, because I thought it was one ticket for all three. So thank you for clarifying.
You know, the first one to be confused with my son, I sent him this thing. And then I've got a couple other people. So when I wrote my letter with this email, I said there are three separate raffles. All tickets are $10 each, and 200 each have been printed. I have tickets. There are three separate raffles. So I already called Debbie Johnson this morning and told her people have been confused about this. They think they buy one ticket, they got a chance to win, got a chance for either one of these. One ticket might be good to win, but it's not. You have three separate raffles. So anyway, I just want to make that clear, and thanks for letting me be on there. And by the way, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for clarifying that, Dick, and we will see you soon. And thanks for everything you do.
Yeah, and I expect you to buy some tickets, Linda.
I bet you do. I probably will.
And Mark.
What? Who? What?
He's not here.
What did the guy say? Okay, bye.
All right, okay, thanks. Bye. And with that, I guess we do have another caller on the line. We've got Rich. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning. excuse the voice. I have to feel a little bit of a cold. You know, if I could switch gears just a little bit, I kind of wanted to continue the conversation from last hour. There was just not enough time to get all my points in and to have a real conversation on that show. And this is about elections, our failed elections officer, and et cetera. And so if I could just make a few points, I think you all would probably have some questions. So in general, they were talking last hour
about the disastrous election we had and the horrible election officer. Yet, you know, in general, their remedy is last hour was, well, we're going to sit down with this failed election officer and see if we can fix things for next cycle. Well, I don't know. That sounds kind of oxymoronic, honestly. And, you know, Terry had mentioned that there are about 15 or so counties, I haven't verified that, that have appointed registrars of elections. Now, the key here is that our public, you know, I was pushing last hour to have our county switch our registrar from elected to appointed. And the general consensus, again, last hour was, well, the people want to elect their officers. Okay, that's a valid point. But how about we hear all sides? And the side is, most people don't know that there are, you know, one-fourth of our counties have an appointed registrar. And we have to educate the Shasta County citizens on the pros and cons of having an appointed registrar. Oh, gee, I have one. How about if they're appointed, they don't oversee their own election because they're appointed. You know, we had a problem with Kathy Allen overseeing her election, and now Thomas Toller is going to oversee his potential reelection in 2 years. Are you kidding me? That by itself is a major reason to make those appointed positions. But, you know, and the points that I was making I ran out of time, you know, we can fix a poor election officer very quickly if the Board of Supervisors have direct appointment authority over them. And we have to entertain all options. And it seems like this one was just almost summarily dismissed last hour. And that's very unfortunate that people are not willing to think. Because if we continue to do the same things we've done in Shasta County elections, I mean, they've only gotten worse. How on earth do we think we're going to sit down with Thomas Toller, who one of last hour's hosts even said swallowed the blue pill? How are we supposed to sit down with this man and expect to have any reform? It's not going to happen. So I'm beside myself with some of the lack of logic that I was hearing last hour. I just really am. And here's a big problem. While everybody says our county council, Joe Larmour, well, he's the best one Shasta County's ever had. Well, holy crud. Do you know how low the bar has been set? six or seven previous councils? So to say he's the best, that's not saying a whole lot. And by the way, he can't even advise the board members properly on the Brown Act, for God's sake. And our board should not be going to him for election advice. They need to be going to an election expert attorney, not Joe Larmour. Joe Larmour used to work for Alan Long's wife. Because in that connection by itself, I'm highly suspicious of that man. Let's just not take Joe Larmour's word as solid gold. Let's not do that. Let's get other second and third opinions from people that actually know what they're talking about in an election. And I think that's a huge flaw. That's a huge flaw that our Board of Supervisors are doing this last year and now. Is taking Mr. Larmour's word for gold. We have to stop doing that.
Well, you know, I wish I could weigh in a little bit more on this, but I'm a little bit out of the loop on knowing enough about the rules in order to make any calls at all. That's, I think, probably the general public's problem here, too. They're not sure what the right call is the way I'm seeing it.
One last point. Again, right, we got to educate our citizens on why we should change the registrar to appointed. But one thing they did not mention last hour, which most of them had an email for me, why are we not hiring an independent investigator to investigate Tom Toller's state and federal legal and regulatory violations? It's a slam dunk. And then we prefer charges to the DA. She won't do anything with it, but we prefer the federal charges and violations to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
I think that might be a viable thing here after about 7 or 8 more days to maybe pursue that at the federal level.
Weren't they going to send a letter?
Yeah, they already did.
But again, independent investigator, okay, to investigate both Joanna and Thomas. The violations are a slam dunk. Joanna was in court last year in the Hobbs case admitting to election violations. My gosh. So we can get Thomas and Joanna out, but the Board of Supervisors, they have to be brave. They have to be brave to do something different and hire this investigator and then have special hearings, right? The board are a quasi-judicial body. They can hold special hearings regarding this specific matter. Invite the public. The public will add additional evidence of violation against Thomas and Joanna. And by midsummer, those two can be out. They can be out because they will be forced out due to public pressure, and if they are under federal charges.
You're fired. Get out.
Yes, thank you.
Well, we'll see what's going to happen here. I mean, Jack Smith was fired about 12 hours ago from the DOJ, it seems like. So there's going to be a whole nother set of policies and people. In all of these federal offices, can they do something?
Okay,
they charge him with federal elections violations? Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, but understand, right? Anything the federal government does only applies to federal elections.
No, I get it. I understand. But you got.
Okay.
But if you start somewhere.
If you have a ballot.
But if you can convict somebody of a federal violation, does that then kind of eliminate the problem of having them run the state and local?
Well, if they're under criminal indictment for federal election violations, I would say Mr. Tall or Joanna would likely step down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that might be one avenue that we can pursue as well as the other.
Couldn't Joanna be fired?
Sure, she can be fired by Tall or any time.
Yeah, but she can also quit if she's under federal indictment.
Right.
That's true.
We have to do something different. We can't go sit down with Thomas and say, hey, Tom, let's fix the next election.
Yeah, because nothing's going to happen. Yeah, that's
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
But just understand, even if the feds do things to fix elections and voter IDs and paper ballots, but that would be great. Don't get me wrong. That would be great. But that only applies to ballots that have federal elections on them. If there's a special election, can you say a local recall? Remember
right.
the Moldy recall?
Right.
That was the only thing on the ballot. If
you
do a state or a local ballot, those federal changes will not apply, folks. We have to understand that. That's why we have to take control of our local elections. So no matter what the state or feds do, we have control of the local side.
I see this as the scenario of how do you eat an elephant? We just got to keep chewing it every way we can to swallow this thing because no matter where it's coming from. You know, we got to have viable solutions that are workable. So I guess we have Terry on the line, too. So
we have to know what all those options are. But do we want to bring Terry on?
Terry's going to call back in
just
a second.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
As soon as this call's done, Terry's
going
to call back.
I just want to get some answers that are viable, Rich. I just don't know which way to go here because we're getting conflicting stories on how to win the battle here. And I'm behind the supervisors 100% at this point if they're doing the right thing. But they also need to listen to people. Maybe there's another way to do this. I don't know.
We've got to do something bold and different because if we wait for the state to help us, they continue to pass laws that restrict our rights and our sovereignty and our local control.
All right.
So why are we going to continue to make the box get smaller and smaller around us, and yet we need to knock down one of the sides down off of that damn box?
Well.
And our last board, they were too cowardly to do that, honestly. And it's probably because the county council is instilling fear in them because the county council is not giving them the full information and the full options that they have. That's my opinion, of course.
Right. All right. Well, I guess we got Terry on the line, and I appreciate the call, Rich, and don't hesitate to call. You bet.
Right. Well, but that's what's not clear is we don't know what all the options are, whether the county council is not giving all the right advice.
Well,
I don't know.
This is not my wheelhouse at all, so I'm having to listen to everybody with trying
to
figure
out. Many people do know? That's the point. So
right.
With that, we'll bring Terry on. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, so anyway, the general consensus of whether we appoint an ROV officer or not is something that we were discussing as far as what has happened in the past, but Rich insists on saying that while we were doing that, we were saying we didn't want to have somebody in this county, and that there really was no choice. What we had to have was somebody who should become the ROV officer at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors. They still don't get to dictate how he runs business. And, you know, the only thing they have is to hire and fire. And I believe it was 18 counties that had the possibility of people that were selected by the Boards of Supervisors. Now there's less than that. We tried that, and that was the point we were making. We tried to, in the city of Reading, Rich Bassetti, as a matter of fact, put forth a measure to have the ROV officer for the city clerk, rather, for the city of Reading being selected, not elected, and it got murdered. People want to elect their officials to hold them accountable. If you have one that you don't like, you can't recall them, for one thing, unless they're elected. And also, you know, a lot of this is everybody's just angry. And they're angry about everything that's gone on here. Nobody thinks the elections are fair. And that makes sense. Flint Curtis called in at the end of our program, and I would suggest people go and listen to that part. That's why we had to go away from Rich and go to that. But, you know, a lot of the things that have been told, I had Kelly Frost call me. And we converse a lot from Freedom in Action. And Kelly called me and said he had heard, he had been told by, he said, Rich, that we could fire, that the Boards of Supervisors could fire the ROV officer. And that just isn't the case. And I think what we tried to do last hour was to clarify, in going to Mark Kemp's point, clarify what the jurisdiction is of the Board of Supervisors and what it isn't. Nobody was saying that we had to work with Tom Toler. I didn't hear anybody say that on the program. I don't think anybody thinks that they're going to work with, and that's part of the problem. We get people that are passionate about things, but they really don't know what the jurisdiction of people are. They say they do, but they don't. Ventura got rid of their registrar of voters. He resigned. They got rid of him. They pressured him. I was there the day they did it. In fact, I was in the city of Carson when they did that. And people came in from all the way from Ventura to talk to us about that. You know, we just have to be giving the straight scoop to people on what's really going on and what the jurisdiction is. So I think that there will be some things with Tom Toler that he won't be able to avoid. I think there's going to be things to where the laws he broken, I think that's going to probably come out, or he allegedly broke, let me put it that way. I think a lot of that stuff's going to happen. But all this knee-jerk reaction and assumption is the thing we were trying to avoid. And that's really where we were with our program. So, Mark, if you got any questions at all about how that thing works with the ROV officer, I'm happy to answer them anytime, brother.
Well,
yeah, I'll have to talk to you, and maybe we'll have a lunch or something, because I just don't understand it enough at this point to make any comments.
Well, I'd like to see the regulations or the code or something that kind of clarifies some of it myself.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we were reading some of that. Chris read one. I had them all in front of me. Laura Hobbs, who's great, sent me all the information. And again, our program wasn't about one way or the other. Our program was, what can you do about it? And I know even on our set, you know, people are angry about the elections not being fair. They're angry about what's going on. I mean, even when Clint Curtis called in, we talked about, he said, well, President Trump's in now, but yeah, President Trump doesn't have the jurisdiction of changing any kind of election law. That's Congress, not the president. And Clint was saying, but he believes that our Congress at this point will go ahead and abide with President Trump's wishes, which are most of our conservative population's wishes. So, again, you know, all this stuff is fine and dandy, but the one thing I don't want to leave it with is, if we have supervisors who are trying to do the right thing, we don't want to eat our own.
Right.
We're just going to go and beat up people to beat up people. They're not going to like that. We're not going to get anything, okay? And I think that after a while, I don't care who you are, well, they have to be thick-skinned. Well, no, they don't. I mean, Rich was talking about how we needed research on something from Huntington Beach. Well, do it. Do the research. Well, no, the Board of Supervisors can do it. No. You usually bring things to the Board of Supervisors, we the people. I mean, do they do it? Do they do it because they're motivated to change something?
We got
to
go.
They're going to cut us off, Terry. Sorry. You can hang on till after the top of the hour if you want to call back.
I can do that, but I just think we need to quit eating each other. That's the main thing.
All right. We will see everybody in about 5 minutes.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The death toll for the wildfires ravaging the L.A. area still stands at 16 at this hour. Crews battling to cut off the spreading blazes. They're in a hurry to do it for a lot of reasons, not the least of which, as forecasters say, strong, strong winds are going to be coming back in a couple of days. It's going to make the job a lot tougher. 150,000 people at this hour in L.A. County are under evacuation orders, more than 700 taking refuge in 9 shelters. GOP lawmakers are ready to go to work. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer says voters let it be known they're tired of the Democrats' plans, and immigration is at the top of the complaint list.
The American people elected a Republican trifecta to put a stop to the failed Biden-Harris policies that rolled out the red carpet for illegal immigrants, criminal illegal immigrants, and put Americans in harm's way.
Republican leaders laying out their plans for the coming 119th Congress. President Trump will be inaugurated in 1 week from tomorrow. Special Counsel Jack Smith has stepped down from his position at the Justice Department.
It was an expected move ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration on January 20th, and it comes amid legal wrangling over just how much of his 2 investigative reports against Mr. Trump can be made public in the days ahead. The DOJ disclosed Smith's departure in a court filing Saturday, saying he'd resigned on Friday. His 2 unsuccessful criminal prosecutions against Mr. Trump were withdrawn following the Trump election victory in November. George Williams reporting.
Walgreens booked a better-than-expected fiscal first quarter that gave Wall Street some positive vibes as the struggling drug store chain works out its plan to revive its business. Company shares soared after leaders told analysts they made progress improving one of the biggest concerns facing the entire industry, shrinking prescription reimbursement. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know as they say. You know as they say, one person's personal information is another person's treasure.
Exactly. That's why I use NordVPN every time I surf the web. Features like Threat Protection Pro safeguard devices from phishing websites and disable intrusive ads and trackers. Just check NordVPN.com, grab the deal, and see for yourself. NordVPN. Cybersecurity built for every day.
Attention American homeowners, you're under attack. Your home and equity could be vulnerable to cyber thieves. There's only one company that completely stops them, and that company is Equity Protect. Equity Protect prevents any attempts to steal your home, equity, and ownership 24/7. Get your free risk report today by texting the word HOME to 94878. That's right, text the word HOME to 94878 to get your free risk report. Keep your equity and legacy safe with Equity Protect.
The French territory of Mayotte on red alert again with another cyclone heading toward the islands off Africa that were devastated by their worst storm in nearly 100 years just last month. The prefecture of Mayotte says the red alert warning was issued late last night in preparation for the arrival of Cyclone Dickey Lady. The storm made landfall in northern Madagascar early Saturday and was moving west toward Mayotte last check. It hasn't fully recovered from the impact of Cyclone Chido. A delegation from one of Turkey's biggest pro-Kurdish political parties has met a leading figure of the Turkish movement in prison, the latest step in a tentative process to end the country's 40-year conflict. 3 senior figures from the People's Equality and Democratic Party met Selahattin Demirtas in a prison near the Greek border on Saturday. Comes 2 weeks after another delegation met with another man, the imprisoned head of the militant Kurdish Workers' Party. News and analysis at townhall.com. A federal appeals court has agreed to hear more arguments involving a close election in November for a North Carolina Supreme Court seat.
The 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals Friday scheduled oral arguments for January 27th and briefing deadlines.
The order means that both the Federal Appeals Court and the State Supreme Court likely will be considering simultaneously substantial matters related to the race between Democratic Associate Justice Allison Riggs and Republican challenger Jefferson Griffin. Riggs is ahead of Griffin by just 734 votes from over 5.5 million ballots cast. Griffin has argued over 60,000 counted ballots came from ineligible voters and should be removed from the tally. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Today is Sunday, January the 12th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including filmmaker John Lasseter, who is 68 years old, broadcast journalist Christiane Amanpour is 67, actor Oliver Platt, 65. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
A source of guilt and shame. Did they tell you your DNA is to blame? An injection just to help stand your reflection. Did the doctor recommend this novel way? Chemical assisted self starvation is the biggest ad in all the nation. Semaglutide tells the brain that your blood sugar's okay, and then your brain tells your stomach slow down, dadgummit, and the pounds just melt away. Novo Nordisk is profiteering, carpet bagging, elixir peddling mafia, masquerading as the help. Food is poison, that's the source. If the hay is bad, you don't whip the horse. Tell all these parasitic companies to crawl back down to hell. Whoa, the chemicals from pharmaceutic waste, they don't degrade, they just bioaccumulate. They leach down into the ecosystem, hurt the fishes and amphibians. Oh, Zimpic, baby, you keep being great. The hunch, there ain't no free lunch. If it sounds too swell like a fairy tale, if it's too good to be true, they're making a lab rat out of you. If Eli Lilly and old Novo want to make this world less hard, dump Wegovy on a famine, then they'll never know they're starving.
Novo, Novo, there we go. Sovereign Mind Radio. That's a new guy, Jesse Wells. And he's got a whole bunch of songs. He's got a whole bunch of songs in his repertoire, and so do we still have Terry on the line?
Affirmative.
All right, very good. Well, let's continue.
Well, what? We need to do town hall at some point.
Oh,
too.
I got town hall queued up, or I did. So go ahead and talk to Terry. Okay. And I'll queue it up.
All right, Terry, you're back on.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and wrap this up.
But, okay.
Chris went ahead and he on our program quoted a code in a law. And Laura Hobbs did a great job in saying that's a good law, but it doesn't pertain to what we're talking about. So, but it did pertain to something else we were discussing, which was being able to have voter ID. And so she did a good job on that. She also has printed up 12 different points and many egregious conflicts against the election code that have happened under Toler's watch. And so there is some things there. And I don't think it's a matter of whether or not, you know, we want to do things right. Most people are not happy with Tom Toler's job. I didn't hear Chris or Patrick even go near that. They're very unhappy with it. But I think that where Laura's coming from made some sense in the fact that she needs to, as she's doing, do this research. She did it. She got it for us. We can use the research with the law on going after these people for where they broke the law.
Well, then you're back to who's gonna hold them accountable, and that seems to always. It seems like our biggest problem always seems to come back to Stephanie Bridget, who doesn't go after anybody for anything, and so maybe the recall is the best thing that we need to do. Period, across the board, and that'll start the ball rolling. I don't know.
Well, the other thing, too, we have to realize is that we could do a recall, and that could be one thing. But the other thing, even as far as Toler goes, I mean, by the time that we probably got done with that, or even by the time we got an initiative done, I don't know if any of you thought of this or not, but if we did an initiative to do the things that people want to do with the initiative, and I certainly don't disagree with any of those things, but it wouldn't show up until the 2026 election, and we could vote the guy out.
Right.
So I'm trying to. So it's just a matter of, I think there's a lot of frustration. I think there could have been movement by the board back in August, or he could have at least gotten some of this stuff out in front. I don't sit with the attorney that they sit with. I don't know whether he's a great attorney or not a great attorney. All I know is that at this point, it has to be the focus of the ROV office.
Well, see, here's another thing, too, on the attorney angle, too. Who's the attorney representing? If he's being paid by the county, he's representing the county and not necessarily the people or the constituents. And that could be a problem, because if he's giving advice on how to protect the county and the Board of Supervisors as opposed to how to protect the voters, maybe that we need to get somebody from the outside looking in a little bit.
Right, and I think that's a great point, Mark. I think you hit the nail right on the head. You're absolutely right. So he's going to be looking out for them. And, you know, again, this business of that we really have control with the Board of Supervisors over Toler just isn't accurate. I mean, that's even said in the letter I read from Alex Haberbusch and the other things I've read that have to do with the legalities of what Toler has done. There's no question about it. I don't think there's anybody in their right mind that wants to keep that guy. I don't think there's anybody that wants to do it. But I think that what we need to do is learn to work together a little better in the fact of what really can you do and what can't you do. What I do think, and I'll leave it with this, is that when the Board of Supervisors, this current board, gets information that's given to them, they have to start to begin to act on it. If they get information about how Huntington Beach did what Huntington Beach did on the ID law, on the voter ID law, they need to dive into it. So I think that those are the things that really we need to focus on and try to really fight the battle where we can win some battles.
I agree. And we need to not fight amongst ourselves, at least not openly in public. We need to fight. If you're going to have those battles, do it behind closed doors and hash it out.
Well, have a beer.
Go
somewhere, have a drink together, share that moment. But the other big thing that I've been noticing, too, so we just had the 8th annual Walk for Life yesterday, and the turnout was the worst that we've had in any of the previous years. And I'm kind of noticing a trend that is kind of shocking and not shocking in some ways, but it seems like people after it seems like they got what they wanted, we've got the White House, we've got the Senate, we've got the House, we've got basically all of it.
And complacency is...
Now everybody seems like they're complacent, and it doesn't make any sense. Like, I just want to remind people at this point in time, like, this is the time to be leaning into it. Not the time when the Democrats are running everything and they're in control and they're not going to listen to you, but the time that you've already ended up electing the officials that you then can hold accountable. This is the time.
Well, I think you're right, Dave, but I do also think that there's a lot of people out there that they're kind of tired, and I'm not saying it's right for them to take a breather or fall asleep, but, you know...
It's been a pretty rough few years.
It has been, and there's a little bit of relief now. Do they need to start picking it up?
Yes,
sure, absolutely.
All right, cool.
I agree.
All right, well, I guess we got to move on. We got to play. We haven't played the town hall yet, so I guess we got to go there. Unless you got something else, Terry.
No, I'm good. Thank you, guys, and great show. And yeah, let's get this thing straightened out. Great show, guys. Thank you.
All right. Now, I guess we got a caller. We got Laura on the line. Let's go to Laura, and then we'll do the town hall.
Are you there, Laura?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Let me go ahead and get away from this.
Yeah, weigh in.
Good morning.
Weigh in on this, Laura, and let's hear your thoughts. Late.
But, I agree with, you know, what your previous callers have said, and especially, you know, knowing what is within our jurisdiction as citizens. But I don't agree with the idea that we can't eat our own. I don't want to eat our own, but I think that we're not a socialist country. We're not a communist country who believes that we all need to get in lockstep.
I agree with that. I mean, we got to have debates. And all I'm saying is that we don't want to throw each other under the bus in the process, is all I'm saying. But yeah, I think you're right. Free speech, spirited debates, over the issues and find some, the best way to resolve things is correct. But I also think that we shouldn't castigate the guys that are trying to help us in public either.
Yeah, they're trying to help us, certainly. But public comment, you know, it's the time when the public can hold their representatives responsible. And I take issue with silencing public discourse, especially on such an important issue of constitutional proportions, you know, the right to elect your representatives, the right to vote, and have that vote counted accurately.
I agree.
I agree. I think we all agree upon that.
I think we all want the right things. It's just trying to get there.
Well, it's getting the right information so we can make a call and what to be done.
And what to support. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Knowing what to support here is the issue.
Having open minds and open
discussions. Yeah, and I feel like we're kind of stymied in that a little bit with our county council. We're not getting the true information from him, unfortunately.
Well, that might be why we have to bring in an outside attorney or something, because he's probably protecting the county more than he is the constituency.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
But thank you for taking my call.
You
appreciate
bet. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right, here we go. We're ready. Town hall.
Ready to rumble. Let's go.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local updates. In a recent meeting, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors made several significant decisions. In a controversial 3-2 vote, they maintained Kevin Cry and Chris Kellstrom as vice chair for 2025. District 3 Supervisor Corky Harmon joined Cry and Kellstrom, while Supervisors Alan Long and Matt Plummer opposed. A resident conducted a silent sit-in protest during the meeting, believing the outcome was predetermined. The board's decision marks the fourth time in 5 years they have deviated from the traditional succession of vice chair to chair, and represents the first instance since the 1950s of consecutive terms as chair. In separate business, the board unanimously approved a $100,000 contribution to United Airlines' Revenue Guarantee Fund for Denver flights, contingent on discussions about joint airport oversight with the city. In another significant decision impacting county finances and personnel matters, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors approved a $2.8 million settlement with retired Sheriff's Captain Pat Krefaller, who sued the county in 2022. Krefaller filed a lawsuit alleging retaliation by former Sheriff Eric Magrini after submitting a whistleblower letter about alleged misconduct in the sheriff's office. He also claimed age discrimination forced his early retirement at 50 instead of his planned retirement at 55. The settlement approval came shortly after the board formally recognized Grafaller's 28 years of service. During public comment, former county employee Benjamin Nguyen said he also filed a whistleblower complaint and urged the board to address systematic workplace issues. The lawsuit included allegations about misuse of law enforcement systems and concerns regarding an officer-involved shooting investigation that resulted in a separate $12 million settlement. While Shasta County grappled with local governance issues, broader changes were taking place at the state level as California implemented multiple public safety laws in January 2025. Assembly Bill 413 establishes new parking restrictions near crosswalks, requiring vehicles to maintain distances of 20 feet from crosswalk approaches and 15 feet from crosswalks with curb extensions. The local authorities can modify these requirements under certain conditions. Additionally, 9 laws focused on victim services and protection took effect. These include measures to enhance law enforcement training, improve emergency room protocols for domestic violence and human trafficking survivors, and establish the California Crime Victims Fund through corporate white-collar crime fines. The legislation also strengthens protective orders, simplifies restraining order processes, and mandates human trafficking resource information at major events. The laws aim to standardize victim care across both urban and rural counties while ensuring sustainable funding for support services. Beyond California's borders, national discussions about educational policies continue to evolve, as highlighted by a recent survey by Parents Defending Education and CRC Research. The poll of 1,000 parents of children under 18 found that 78% of respondents opposed allowing transgender female athletes to compete on girls' sports teams, with 22% supporting it. Opposition crossed political lines with 86% of Republican parents, 80% of independent parents, and 60% of Democratic parents opposing such participation. This polling follows the Biden administration's December withdrawal of a proposal regarding transgender athlete participation in schools. In related news, Washington State's High School Athletics Governing Board is considering creating a 3-division system: boys, girls,
and open division. The proposal will be voted on in April 2024. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Well, I think that's such a good idea.
The three?
Yeah, male, I think so female, too. And open. Hey, because if it's really not about dominating a sport as a man over women, then why wouldn't you just want to go to the open
and,
one?
Yeah, and right? Let's see exactly what happens. How many people are going to participate in it?
Right.
So with that, we have a caller on the line. We've got Lori. Good morning, Lori.
Hey, good morning, all three of you, and Dave.
Good morning.
Keep the Dave stuff.
Well, there's two Daves. Dave. So you got to be specific on which one.
She said all three of us and Dave, the producer.
Oh, there you go.
Right, but I like the whole Dave's not here.
You can just call us Daves. We're just existing as one person.
Okay, you got some updates for us?
I do. Yeah, I sure do. This will be more mainly with the Board of Supervisor meeting that we just had. It was an extremely long meeting, and I hope they would consider having more meetings. And that way you don't have a ton of agenda to cover, and more night meetings. I looked at the calendar the other day, and I think I only saw three, maybe four, and so I got to verify that again. But that's not enough for all of us that are working. It's very difficult. So I'd like to cover first the media. Dave Benda of the Record Searchlight put in a story in the middle of the week here with that woman, Dawn Ashman, sitting in front of the dais. She was peaceful and quiet. She didn't have another person sit with her. She didn't have a big old poster waving it and shaking it. Okay, very different from the other two people. The Noaines, I believe, were both arrested. I have pictures, and I'd like people to stop telling me how to do my job as a citizen journalist. I volunteer my time. I can do whatever level I want to. If I prefer to take photos and catch you people being bad, hey, Mr. Noaine, Benjamin, I have a nice picture of you doing the Heil Hitler for quite a while. And Robert Exter does video. So I don't know why you want to keep playing like you're a victim and you don't contribute to hostility, disruptions. That's a hate sign.
No, he is a victim, Lori. He's a victim of his own lack
of... his own mind?
He's a victim of himself is what it is.
Well, that's right. So I would think most men... or women, if you've been terminated from a job, I would refresh my resume and figure out how am I going to explain this giant gap because you were terminated. Now, you can call yourself a whistleblower. You can call yourself, you got lots of things going on. We all do, okay? So, all of you, the radio show on Tuesday night, do not dictate how I will do my level or area or scope of practice as a volunteer citizen journalist.
Now, who cares what they have to say? You know, the real deal is who cares what they have to say? It's like listening to Channel 7. I mean, does anybody really care?
Mark, if I may, until you are defamed and you're on the road of slandering, then it is an issue because it's constant. For me, I've got three times on that show that they have used my name and criticized, harangued, bullied. By the way,
well, if it's not true, have you talked to Carl about it? If it's not true,
I have.
Yeah.
Twice.
Okay, so then maybe you need to look at an attorney to hire.
Well, I do have that option, and I am aware of there might be a change on Tuesday nights in a few weeks. Okay. Let me leave it with that.
Yep.
So whoever you are, Pam, I don't know if you have a following or if you were invited. Mr. Nguyen said he doesn't know you because for a moment there I thought was this Jenny Nguyen's mom just, you know, carrying on. I didn't know. No clue. So I'm going to move into the last part of the Board of Supervisors meeting when the last public speaker after me continued to make a rant and tell me to say that I'm promoting hate and I'm blocking the ADA. I've had a table there with Richard 4 years, right after COVID, I've been in that hallway. I've moved my table as close to the wall. I've been 100% compliant with what they want. I would know ADA because I am an ADA.
Well, these people, you can't listen to anything they say anyway. Because everybody's a hater, everybody's this, everybody's that. Mm-hmm. But they never look in the mirror at themselves at anything. You're an election denier. Now they're denying the elections.
Well, they're so unhappy themselves, so they got to lash out to other people.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I would like to warn this individual to knock it off, regroup, recompose yourself. If there's some kind of trauma, if you've got something going on that you just go up all the time and rant and rave and you're not making sense, and this is why you're redirected. Stick to, you know, R5, R6, R7, whatever it is. That's not interrupting. That's like trying to bring some focus. So if you want to keep reporting on me, it's not going to go anywhere. I've not violated anything. I'm not promoting hate crimes. I'm actually revealing and exposing the hate and bullying, cyberbullying, from we know who for years.
Well,
and so
it's
when
just
I take
like,
pictures and make a poster.
It's just like the Facebook thing we're going to cover a little bit here on Zuckerberg. I wasn't censoring, you know.
Oh, but it was.
But I've stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it's good in the Board of Supervisors, too, that they are interrupting them and making them staying on task.
Yeah, and meanwhile, there's people, and I appreciate what Leslie Sawyer said at the last meeting, that there are people that all they want to do is vent, yell, scream, whine, and be all at people and just target. And so instead of going for therapy or getting some kind of help and regrouping and get your brain to function and make some logical sense, all it is just attacking. It's just completely unhinged. And I don't appreciate being put in that position because I have been victimized constantly. And I will make posters. I will do whatever method I want to expose what I catch at these meetings. And then,
well,
then
you know,
Bowie and all the rest.
TDS is real, but so is MDS, MAGA syndrome, derangement,
oh, yeah.
MAGA derangement syndrome. And that these guys are deranged. They really are.
Yep. They are. And so the last thing I want to say on the board meeting is when you as an individual go up there and you tear up and shred the Constitution and then you continually refer to it constantly, you're a hypocrite. You make no sense. This is illogical, irrational, and please stop using the Constitution for every time you want to write a letter, file a complaint, call the FBI, call the CIA, call the AAC.
Well, they want the Constitution to be upheld for them, but not you. It's kind of like transgender rights. It's like, oh, you got to respect my rights, but I don't have to respect anything of your rights. That's the problem. It's like drag queen story hour. Yeah, what about the kids and the parents' rights? You know, I mean, but they don't see it. Never enters into the equation because they have no self reflection at all.
They want the freedom, that they don't want you to have the freedom.
Right. They don't see it as an equal justice under the law. They're in charge. Shut up. Sit down, and they'll do what they want, and then you'll uphold their rights.
Well, and if I heard correctly on Kevin Cry's show earlier, they are going to start to address these people that put in these yellow cards for almost everything, and then they just bloviate, and they're not on topic. And I'm not sure if I want that Tumblr bingo thing. Where
that's kind of weird.
Because what are you going to do, folks, if you work? Do you still have to take the day off in case your lucky card didn't get pulled out of the bingo bin?
Yeah, I don't agree with some of the changes. I don't agree with the minute. I think you should have 3 minutes. But it should be on topic. And even if you're addressing the board, it shouldn't just be about attack. It should be a valid point. So that was the difference between now and then on the COVID. You know, enforce masks, enforce COVID shots, enforce lockdowns, the Board of Supervisors. They don't see the difference between that and what they're doing now.
Correct. And so I think what I'll do is next week I'll call in and give a better field report on the Free Palestine NorCal. I went to the 2-hour meeting yesterday at the library, and lots of good information. And they are, it's mainly like innocent children. Why are we bombing, killing children? That's just off the mark, folks. So, yeah. So I took a lot of notes. There's maybe about 25, 30 people there.
Why are we funding both sides of the war?
Okay.
Because it makes it
forever. That's what we do as an empire-grabbing military-industrial complex. You profit.
Yeah.
Yep.
The deep state.
It makes
all
it
right.
look good.
Cool. Well, that's all you got. I've got a couple other things we've got to run.
Yeah, one last thing. All right. Eddie McAllister, whom I love, he made an announcement at the end of the library meeting that there's going to be an alternative inauguration on Wednesday the 15th. It's a Zoom call coming from the King Center in Atlanta, Georgia. It starts at 3:30. I do not know if it's an hour or not, but there are people that are kind of doing an anti-Trump inauguration, it sounds like. And this is through the Shasta Beloved County. So I was not aware of that until Eddie shared that information. So meanwhile, they have a protest for NorCal on Saturdays. And I believe on Sundays at 12:30. Saturday's 10 o'clock City Hall. And then Parsons High School, Sunday, 12:30. I've never been to one, but I met some nice people, and the speaker did a great job. Kelly Frost booked her yesterday on his radio show yesterday. So that compelled me to show up. So anyway, thanks for the time to share and get people caught up on what's kind of going on in the behind the scenes.
We'll all right. Well, you appreciate.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you guys.
Very good. Thanks.
Have a good one.
About
have a good one.
We got eight days to the inauguration.
That's going to be interesting time.
Let's see what happens.
I guess you never know. But
we should probably go to the break here because if we get
and then we'll get started in some other things instead of halfway. All right. If you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I saw a toddler eat a cigarette on a cart of Keystone beer. I was eyeing art supplies. Some dude named Tanner called me queer. I do not want to go to Walmart today. I saw a woman stranded humming to the tune of Delta Dawn on a dead battery scooter with just pajamas on. I do not want to go to Walmart today. To Walmart today or tomorrow or the day after that. Don't go misunderstand me for some pinko commie rat. I hold close to belief. Rising waters raise the ships. I was burying the living. Good old Sammy's dying. Wish I saw a 104-year-old woman bolted to a register counting change. Her manager was 10 years old with a smartphone for a brain. I saw a family of 33 redheaded boiling over. Pick the clearance aisle apart like some buzzards on the shoulder.
Indulge in an unforgettable evening at Turtle Bay's Chocolate After Dark. Join us on Friday, February 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. and enjoy delicious chocolate treats, fine local wines, and a fun night out at Turtle Bay Museum. Perfect for date night or a special treat for you and your friends. This 21 and older event is too sweet to miss and sure to sell out. Chocolate After Dark at Turtle Bay Museum, Friday, February 7th. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tracy Morgan.
I suffered some terrible injuries, you know.
Live.
And after I came out the coma, I was blind for a week. And where I come from, you don't want to be blind for a second. One day, my uncle's trying to walk out with my heart monitor. I said, Michael, where you going with my heart machine? Try to sell it to another hospital.
February 6th, Wind River Resort and Casino. Get tickets now at WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Must be 21.
He's a drugstore truck driving man. He's the head of Q Plus Clan. When summer rolls around, he'll be lucky if he's not in town. Well, he's got him a house on the hill. He plays country records till you've had your fill. He's a fireman's friend. He's an all-night DJ. But he sure does make good rent from the records he plays. He's a drugstore truck driving man. He's the head of
Auburn Ryan's little bit of the bird. That's old school stuff there, man.
Yeah.
Away from the depths of inequity. Yeah, so let's play this quick clip from JP. I got another clip. We can go into this Lincoln Riley thing, too. Mm-hmm. We got about a half hour or so. But I got another clip about Karen Bass, the mayor of L.A.
Yeah.
And so she's got a very interesting background that I don't think too many people are reporting on. But I got a post on that was on X from Musk, and it was very interesting. But let's play JP first, and then we'll go from there. Maybe take some notes, and there's a lot to talk about here.
Good evening, and welcome to We Lie to You News, and a happy belated January 6th. As they say in the plumbing industry, shit's going down this week. Our top stories. California is taking a break from burning down metaphorically to burning down literally. Mark Zuckerberg announces things haven't gone so well with the beloved fact-checkers, so he's getting rid of them. Canada is getting rid of Justin Trudeau, and Trump is playing real-world Monopoly with Greenland. All that and more tonight. Starting with California. After the holiday shoplifting season ended, wildfire season began with a historical fire that has ravaged the Pacific Palisades, Malibu, and LA. It turns out the fires have been rather difficult to put out without water. But luckily, California Governor Gavin Newsom was on the scene, ensuring the public that someone else has to figure that out.
What is the situation with the water? Obviously, in the Palisades, ran out last night in the hydrants. I was trying to firefighter on this block. Yeah. They left because there was no water in the hydrant here.
The local folks are trying to figure that out.
Why isn't there any water? Well, let's throw back to a video of Newsom proudly announcing the largest dam removal project in history in order to save a few fish.
Largest dam removal project in U.S. history.
Nice. What could go wrong with that? Now, in light of the deadly California fires, let's throw forward to President Trump pointing out exactly what has gone wrong with that. Governor Gavin Newsom refused to sign the water restoration declaration put before him that would have allowed millions of gallons of water from excess rain and snowmelt from the north to flow daily into many parts of California, including the areas that are currently burning in a virtually apocalyptic way. He wanted to protect an essentially worthless fish called smelt by giving it less water. It didn't work, but didn't care about the people of California. Now the ultimate price is being paid. Gavin, you chose to restrict the flow of water to California? Are you sure that was a good idea?
I couldn't be more proud as a Californian, and I couldn't be more proud as a father, because my kids and their great-great-grandkids will have the opportunity to see something.
Absolutely. Your kids are having the opportunity to see something that is pretty remarkable. Their state burning down without much water to put it out. Hey, Nigel, can you pull up some science on how water isn't proven to be an effective method for putting out fires and how it's kind of dangerous? I want to position water as an ivermectin to fire. As we see Governor Newsom always busy fighting climate change, shouldn't we be led to believe that these fires are simply a result of deadly climate change? Yes, here's the proof.
We're giving billions and billions of dollars for forest fires in California. There's no reason for those fires to be like they are. They're leaving them dirty. It's a disgraceful thing. Old trees are sitting there rotting and dry. And instead of cleaning it up, they don't touch it. They leave them. And we end up with these massive fires that we're paying hundreds of billions of dollars for to fix. And the destruction is incredible. So I think California ought to get their act together and clean up their forests and manage their forests, because it's disgraceful. What's happening should never happen.
Well, that doesn't sound like proof, but luckily for California residents, Gavin Newsom prevents the flow of water and ignores taking practical action that would prevent devastating wildfires in favor of taking massive action against climate change. It's just like if a home intruder breaks into your house and wants to hurt your family. The best action you can take is to protect your family by fighting off an imaginary friend during the home invasion. We'd all like to thank Gavin Newsom for his dedication to serving California. And we'd like to condemn President Trump for calling for an insurrection in that clip where he's laying out the simple method needed to prevent wildfires. America is no place for that kind of extremism. That's the latest on the California wildfires. In other news this week, on January 6th, poetically enough, Kamala Harris became the first woman to certify her own election loss. Congrats to her. Moving along, Trump Force One landed in Greenland on a little bit of a scouting mission this week. Why? President Trump is very interested in acquiring Greenland. Upon his announced intentions, many Americans have been taken aback by this news as they're surprised to learn that Greenland is a place. But why does President Trump want Greenland to become part of America?
Well, we need Greenland for national security purposes.
There you have it. As Trump apparently doesn't like the board game version of Monopoly, he also announced another move.
Changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
That kind of thing happens from a guy who puts America and golf above all else. Justin Trudeau resigns as Canadian Prime Minister. Effective once the next Prime Minister is chosen. Look for Trudeau to do as much damage as possible on the way out. But how will Canadians fare without a Prime Minister who is out to disarm them and freeze their bank accounts for speaking out against him when he wants to force vaccinate them? And will they be okay without a Prime Minister who has demanded life in prison for speech crimes and called for the incarceration for crimes that haven't been committed, but his government thinks they will be committed? Well, I Trudeau-ly don't know, but I fear that Canada could fall into the arms of tyranny without Trudeau. Please keep Canada in your prayers. Unless you're in Canada in public, because Trudeau made praying in public an arrestable offense. And our final story tonight, the always likable Mark Zuckerberg announced some interesting changes for Facebook and Instagram, including getting rid of fact checkers. Take a look.
The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes, similar to X.
Zuckerberg then went on for another 5 minutes outlining more changes in that rather riveting video where he read off a teleprompter while doing an impression of a severely autistic patient, which was rather well performed, by the way. The gist of the changes is that fact checkers will be flushed down the toilet where they belong, and Facebook and Instagram won't be censoring conservatives anymore, as Zuckerberg will no longer be taking orders from the Biden administration. In the moment of the week, President Trump was asked a rather interesting question about Zuckerberg's changes. Take a look.
Do you think he's directly responding to the threats that you have made to him in the past?
Probably.
That's pretty good. These changes have many conservatives praising Zuckerberg, believing he's legitimately become a more based person. And it's great that some conservatives think he's one of them now. That's much easier to see than it is to recognize how Zuckerberg bowed down to the Biden administration and is now bowing down to Trump because he's a spineless coward who doesn't operate with any principles. And he'll do anything that is in the best short-term interest for his company and do anything to keep himself from having to be accountable for any crimes he's committed, including perjury during congressional testimony. So Zuckerberg's changed. He's great now. That's it for today's news. California residents, you might be experiencing a tragedy now, but rest assured that once Newsom's No More Gas Vehicles by 2035 climate policy takes effect, your homes that will already be gone will be very well protected against devastating wildfires that will still happen.
Wow, there's so much to unpack from that.
Oh, here's another one, too. I've got this one from Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg sanity tour continues. Meta removes tampons from men's restrooms.
You know, you can't make this crap up. It is so off the charts, screwed up. So just a couple of points. The dam removal that he was talking about, California, was Iron Gate up here and to appease the Indians. And now they lost all their water storage. There's no more water ability to go to Wairika and a few other places. And so that's all screwed up. And then the smelt, by the way, is they haven't been able to find them for 10 years. So the famous infamous smelt has not been seen in nearly a decade. So all this for a small fish that it was actually transplanted to the Delta,
correct.
I believe.
It's an invasive species that didn't belong here.
And now they can't find it, but we'll shut all the water off anyway.
But we'll ship at least 50%, if not more, out to the ocean because of the smelt.
Mm-hmm. And on the Greenland note, you know, we gave Ukraine like $100 billion or something, more than that. Did you know that with that kind of money, you could have given $1 million to every single person that's a resident of Greenland? do you think they would sell the island for that?
I'm pretty sure they would. Well, here's the other thing that's interesting, too. So the White House announced this week it's shifting over $100 million taxpayer dollars from Egypt to the nation of Lebanon to go specifically to Lebanon's military. In related development, Lebanon Parliament will vote on a new president today, as Reuters the AP report. It's likely to be the country's army commander. As the AP noted, that would seem to suggest that the Biden White House is trying to prop up a new army president by giving him an extra $100 million in cash, effectively putting that country under the control of the U.S. along with its donors like France and Saudi Arabia as they work to push out Iran and Hezbollah. But also, we're funding another military and another army that's also in a nation that seems like they hate us all the time. Weird.
So I'm not through whipping this dead horse called Zuckerberg yet.
Well, I wanted to talk about the water thing, too, and the high-speed rail and how much money we spent on the high-speed rail.
Okay, go ahead, and then we'll whip this other.
So, you know, we couldn't do water storage and remove the dams and all that in the smelt, but we can spend, let's see here, $5.4 billion in 2008, and it was increased to $19.7 billion in 2024 for the high-speed rail here in California that we just had to have.
The train to nowhere.
Yeah, but we couldn't have anything in place for fires and the firefighters.
I'm going to go write a song when I get home, The Train to Nowhere. I've been on a train to nowhere.
I mean, you don't need to wait until you get home. I mean,
I can start now.
We've got the stuff. I can make it right now.
There you go. Okay, so the reason I want to keep whipping Zuckerberg here.
Because he's a joke.
Because the spineless jellyfish that he is. Okay, remember, they're not censoring anybody coming from the...
We would never do that, but I got paid billions of dollars.
We're not censoring anybody. You guys are full of crap, you conservative haters. Yeah,
you're just picking on us.
So here is out of the horse's... mouth.
You gotta be careful there, guy.
Himself. This is Zuckerberg admitting on Joe Rogan's podcast that they were dictated to by the Biden administration. In fact, you can read some of the transcripts that said they call up his people and they were screaming at them.
Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall to see what Trump said to him?
Well, let's stay tuned. There's more to come. Here's the Zuck, and the Zuck does suck. And here we go.
At the beginning, it kind of seemed like, okay, we should give a little bit of deference to the government and the health authorities on how we should play this. But when it went from, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve to, you know, and like in the beginning, it was like, okay, there aren't enough masks. Masks aren't that important. To then it's like, oh no, you have to wear a mask. And, you know, everything was shifting around. It just became very difficult to kind of follow. And this really hit the most extreme, I'd say during the Biden administration when they were trying to roll out, the vaccine program. And now I'm generally like pretty pro rolling out vaccines. I think on balance, the vaccines are more positive than negative, but I think that while they're trying to push that program, they also tried to censor anyone who is basically arguing against it. And they pushed us super hard, to take down things that were honestly true, right? I mean, they basically pushed us and said, you know, anything that, says that vaccines might have side effects, you basically need to take down. And I was just like, well, we're not going to do that. Like, we're clearly not going to do that. I mean, that is kind of inarguably true.
Who is they? Who's telling you to take down things that talk about vaccine side effects?
It was people in the Biden administration.
Well, okay, so let me do a little legal analysis for you. That's a crime when the government pressures a private entity to curtail your free speech. That's a violation of your constitutional rights. That is a crime, and whoever pressured him to do that is now a criminal, and maybe needs to be charged with that crime. On top of the fact that Zuckerberg lied about it in congressional testimony saying it wasn't happening.
Yes, but didn't he receive money for this?
Oh, I'm sure they were giving him money.
Oh, well, oopsie.
Not to mention there was a government portal link that they had that came out in data that was released to the public and in congressional hearings, whereby they had their own special link that they could basically post in any content that they wanted and the link for it that would immediately basically take it off. So they had direct access to be able to censor the speech of Americans. And the other big thing, too, is there was actually a CIA operation to create a social media platform that, interestingly enough, got funded, and it disbanded the program the same day Facebook launched. I find that very weird.
And
so.
I kind of don't believe him that maybe he was pressured, maybe he was. But remember, he is also the person that says, you know, you can't have cattle. Cattle bad, beef bad, but I can raise all I want to over in Hawaii. Remember that? That was Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm.
The Zuck.
Yeah.
The Zuckster.
Not that he would lie about anything.
The Zuckster.
You know
he's
that
a jerk.
Song that you said you were going to make here? This is...
Okay. I think
it's not working.
Whatever you're doing is not working.
But anyway, yeah. And now he wants to be like X because he's just a piece of work. Yeah. I'm not saying that they did or didn't pressure him, but he's full of, you know,
well,
what.
Here's another fact check, I should say. Facebook dumps, this comes from the Defender, dumps fact checkers one day after the Children's Health Defense Fund or Health Defense Organization asked the Supreme Court to hear a censorship case against Meta.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, just a coinky-dink, you know. Zuck's a straight-up guy.
Oh, yeah.
And think about this for a moment. He had, for Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, he had tampons in all of the men's restrooms. And now he's removing them.
So does Zuck suck? Yes. Is Zucker... and you could... So hold on. Is Zucker a... You fill in the blank.
Talking about the Karen Bass lady that we were mentioning previously.
Oh, the mayor of L.A.?
Yeah, yeah. So apparently there's a whole bunch that's coming out right now on her.
They have lots of videos of her.
She's tied to the communist ties. She used to be a member of a revolutionary organization called Venceremos Radicalized M19. I got a little clip here. I'm not sure how long it is.
Is that some of the same ones Kamala was?
Maybe. Let's play this little clip. I'm not sure how long it is. Let's see what it says. I did listen to this earlier, but I didn't get it posted. Oh, here we go. Let me get it up here.
Remember this date, November 7, 1983. Remember this date. But first, let me introduce you to Karen Bass. Back in the 1970s, community activist Karen Bass went on at least 15 trips to Cuba, many with a group known as the Venceremos Brigade, a Marxist group started by the Castro regime to subvert American interests, weaken democracies, and spread communism around the world. Founded in 1969, the Venceremos Brigade organized trips to Cuba every year for half a century. They attracted the most radicalized and delusional segments of the American left, including overtly Maoist and pro-Soviet communist groups. In fact, a Los Angeles police investigator who infiltrated the group testified to Congress saying that to be a member of the brigade, you had to be confirmed as a Marxist-Leninist. As a brigadista and then moving up the ranks to organizer for the Venceremos Brigade, Karen Bass visited Cuba every 6 months. Their mission? To radicalize young, impressionable American leftists in terrorist tactics and guerrilla warfare.
members of the Vince Ramos Brigade were even taught how to make bombs.
Jesus Christ!
Karen Bass admits, on her many pilgrimages to Cuba, she went to see Fidel Castro speak several times, even calling him charismatic, and upon his death, praised him, saying, "The passing of Comandante and Jefe is a great loss to the people of Cuba, even though the people of Cuba see him as a dictator who impoverished their island." Another group, the M19, took its belief in revolutionary anti-imperialism to extremes, violent extremes. The M19 was the first and only women-created and women-led domestic terrorist group. Since their founding in 1978, M19's tactics escalated from robbing armored trucks and abetting prison breaks to building their own explosives and carrying out terrorist bombings. From 1983 to 1984, M19 bombed an FBI office, the Israel Aircraft Industries building, the South African consulate in New York, DC's Fort McNair, and Navy Yard, which they bombed twice. But that wasn't enough for them. On the night of November 7, 1983, the M19 called the U.S. Capitol switchboard and warned them to evacuate the building. Minutes later, the M19 bombed the north wing of the U.S. Capitol. November 7, 2023 marks 40 years since the M19's bombing of the U.S. Capitol. Members of the M19, like Susan Rosenberg, traveled to Cuba with and were radicalized by the Vince Ramos Brigade. The South Los Angeles Vince Ramos Brigade was led by Karen Bass, who is now mayor of Los Angeles.
Just a coincidence. It's all, you know, only haters bring these things up, you know. Oh, well, that would be us, yeah.
So. There's several things, too, that are extremely concerning about this. So, one, her salary is $750,000 a year.
No, I don't think it's Bass. Bass is
no, that's another lady.
There's another lady. Bass is like $250,000.
She's the head of power and something in the government.
No, I was looking at those stats this morning.
Yeah, I just brought that up.
$250,000 was Bass. $400,000 was the next one. Chief
You're
of police,
right. So.
And then $700,000 was, I can't remember the
point is, $750,000 a year plus housing allowance to operate as the CEO of the L.A. Water Department. She's a sizable salary, even with the high cost of living in Los Angeles.
They're doing such a great job, too. Look how much water they had to fight the fires with, and that the reservoir was all drained for repairs right before fire season.
Well, yeah, so that's the thing. You've got this reservoir. It's 117 million gallons of water that are normally in these, and it was completely drained out for maintenance during the fire season. Why would you do that at this point in time? Like, it kind of seems like not very smart. Why were all the insurance policies canceled as well?
It's so stupid, it's smart.
Here's one for you in regards to the fires. Did you hear about the 60 fire trucks that came from Oregon that got stopped in San Francisco?
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, because they needed to be tested. For emissions.
How about all the truck, all the fire equipment and everything that was sent to the Ukraine a few months back from L.A.?
Yeah.
That was just a coincidence, too. Mm-hmm. How about all the insurances that were canceled prior to the fire?
Well, yeah, it kind of seems like that happened also in Hawaii. It also seems like that whole America the Beautiful rewilding thing and a lot of these fires seem to be in areas that they wanted to rewild. That's kind of curious. But there's also this report out from Breitbart. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass gave city workers rich contracts before cutting fire department budget.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
But they painted a lot of the fire hydrants a rainbow color.
So shortly after taking office.
To include everybody. Again, was that the lady from PG&E? Because she loves everybody.
Yeah, it's all about the love.
Yeah, the love.
It's the love.
I bet those people are really feeling the love there.
I would rather have somebody that loved me than actually did a good job. There we go. Okay. Outside, we've got the car alarm going off. Better be careful. Should we duck and cover?
It's not a Tesla, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not a Tesla. Thank goodness.
So shortly after taking office, Bass began negotiating with public sector unions over expiring contracts. Early last year, those talks resulted in more than two dozen agreements with unions representing the city's civilian employees guaranteeing wage hikes between 20% and 25% for over 5 years. The contracts raised the minimum wage for city employees from 20 to 25 an hour and also contained rich benefits, including allowing workers to cash in 100% of their unused sick time when they retire, an increasingly rare perk in a private sector. Analysis by the city's administrative office said they would cost Los Angeles $3.5 billion over the life of the contracts. Well, interestingly, too, at the same time, she ended up cutting the budgets for the fire department. Weird.
Yeah. That's just...
Well, some things need to take priorities. DEI hires, painting all the fire hydrants rainbows.
That was very important to do all that.
I mean, those are the things that you should get that high salary for, because that's the kind of love that needs to be spread around L.A. right now.
Yep. Those people are feeling the love, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know. We got
I guess that's the top of the hour.
No, that's it. We're at the end.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're at the top of the hour. We're done. We're done.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Have a great week.
Don't compare it with the government. All gun control is racist. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks for tuning in.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.